Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of the fall of Babylon, Daniel chapter 5, verses 13 through 31, as we finish our study of Daniel chapter 5. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com. or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study titled The Fall of Babylon, Daniel chapter 5, verses 13 through 31. And we begin with the hymn, Stand Up for Jesus. This is part one of two.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, with highest royal banner, it must not suffer loss. Victory unto victory, his army shall be lead, with every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. To the mighty conflict in this glorious day, that our men now serve him against a number cause. Courage rise with danger, and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, he dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, he's peaceful with prayer. Duty calls or danger, we never want him there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. Stay the noise of battle, the next of victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of glory shall be. With the King of glory, shall reign eternally.
Left off with verse 12 last time, so that's where we'll pick up on verse 13, and we'll open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word, and we just ask you for your help, just that I can be clear in teaching, and that the folks listening will have clarity of mind as they learn. The most important thing, Lord, is that we grow close to you, and the Scripture tells us that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I pray that everyone here tonight and those watching live stream online and the many who will watch later as we upload these messages to the various websites and play them on the radio, Lord, that all the folks who hear these messages will grow closer to you as a result. And I believe this book is infallible. I do believe every word of it. And I believe it because it proves itself. And I ask you, Lord, to help me to help others to come to that kind of faith and assurance in this book, because if there's no source of divine truth, then everybody's opinion really doesn't matter. There is no assurance. There is no real reason for existence if this book be not what you say it is. And I believe it is. And so we just thank you for it and ask your help as we study it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to look at the fall of Babylon. The fall of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was the main king of Babylon in this book up until this point. And we left off, we were introduced to Belshazzar, who is either his grandson, he is Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, but he's either Nabonidus' son by biological means, or he was adopted. Scripture doesn't say, and history isn't clear on that, but Nabonidus was king, and he was off gallivanting because he didn't really like being king, and the feeling was mutual. The people didn't like him. So he left town and left Belshazzar in charge. And in the last study, we saw the handwriting on the wall. Nothing but a hand. The fingers wrote. And we're going to look as Daniel tells Belshazzar what that means. But let's open with a look at another amazing fulfillment of prophecy that we didn't discuss last time in Daniel chapter 5, verse 6. If you go to verse 6, you remember we kind of got a little laugh out of this. Verse 6 says, Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Now, I didn't look this up in the new versions. I'm not sure how they say that. But the part there that says the joints of his loins were loosed, if they were honest, and they really wanted to make a up-to-date new Bible version, then it would say he crapped his pants. Or he pooped his pants. Or he, I guess you could say, soiled his pants. The Bible is a book that some people are just a little too holy for. You ever notice that? Do you know people who are too holy for the Bible? Jenny confesses to being one of those people. They read the Bible. I've been in places where a fellow's reading the Bible and he'll come up to a really bad word, the word ass, and he'll say donkey. He actually changes the Bible as he's reading it because he's afraid it might offend somebody. And I didn't even know this was a problem. I mean, when I got saved, I said the F word like it was a tick. And, you know, it's like how people say like it's like, you know, it's like, well, that's how the F word came out of my mouth. I said the F word like it was just a tick. It was, after I got saved, it was really hard because I said it unconsciously. And it would just roll off my tongue. And then I got around Christians. And as I said last week, say the word fart, and it was an F word. And I told the story where I was sitting around some Christians, and I was like, man, who farted? Everybody looked at me like I'd said the other F word. And that's when I realized that there's some awfully holy Christians out here. And what I also found out is, they really only, most of them become holy when they go into a church building. They go home and they turn on TV and they watch all that nonsense. And they might draw the line somewhere and say, well, I won't put up with them using God's name in vain or the F word. But most of them will watch, you know. And I've even been with some of them who in church you see this sanctimonious, and then they go home and I'm in their home and they turn on this stuff and it's appalling to me, you know. And I thought I was, you know, balanced about it. So anyway, you've got this phrase in the Bible, the joints of his loins were loosed, and people, because they're so, you know, embarrassed by that, they just, let's move on. Let's not talk about this. Well, it's pretty amazing when you look at that verse. I titled it Belshazzar Needs Depends. Trademarked. But there's a prophecy in Isaiah. And I asked this question, would you even dream of the fact that God said he would loose the loins of kings before Cyrus? Isn't that something? Isaiah 45:1. You want to turn there just so you can prove it's actually in the Bible. Isaiah 45, 1. And it begins by saying, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus." This is one of the explanations given by Christians who voted for Donald Trump. They say, "Well, how can you vote for such a wicked man?" And I've had people would say, "What do you think? He's a Christian?" And that sort of thing. Listen, I believe Donald Trump needs saved. But that has nothing to do with who you vote for. And people say, "Well, God would not use a man like Donald Trump." Maybe not. But he may not use Donald Trump. But he'll use a man like Donald Trump. Cyrus is one of them. And Cyrus never did stop worshiping Marduk, a false god. And look what God calls him. His anointed. You see, to be anointed means that God's going to use you. That doesn't mean you're a godly person. You know who else? I mentioned that terrible word, ass. How many of you heard of Balaam's ass? Hear that? Do you know who Balaam is? Balaam gave wonderful prophecies. You heard the prophecy every Christmas about the star out of Jacob. Hear that, that prophecy? That's from Balaam, who was a false prophet. Why? Because he said some things that were true, but he was still a lying crook. And that's most of your TV preachers today. Amen, amen. And they can say things that are true, but they're still lying crooks. Amen. And so we have Cyrus. Just put that right here somewhere for the future studies, that this ain't a holy man, and yet God's calling him his anointed. He says, "Whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him." Look at the rest of that verse. "And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates. The gates shall not be shut." That's a prophecy that we're seeing fulfilled right now in Daniel 5. The two-leaved gates. Did you know the Bible prophesied that Belshazzar would poop his pants? Hey, I'm telling you, that book is amazing. The Bible is amazing. And it blows people away whenever they stop with the silliness and really read it and look at it. So, I want all of you tomorrow to tell people you went to church last night and you learned that God prophesied about a king pooping his pants. And say, "Yeah, next week you can come with me. It's hard to tell what you're going to learn." Amen? Amen. Enter Cyrus. The defeat of Babylon cleared the way for King Cyrus to enter. Look what it said in Isaiah 45:1. The reference was to the two-leaved gates. That's a reference to Babylon. The two-leaved gates. This is from the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. It's a great resource if you get a copy online. It's cheap or free. It says, "All the streets of Babylon leading on each side to the river were secured by two-leaved brazen gates, and these were providentially left open." Think of that. What did he prophesy? Folks, what you read, I want you to get this, understand this. What you read in Isaiah 45:1, that's Isaiah prophesying 150 years before Cyrus was even born. That would be like George Washington in his farewell address, right before he ends, saying, "Oh, and by the way, for the record, in about 200 and some years, there's going to be this fellow named Greg Miller, and when he preaches, he's going to say the word poop." And if George Washington had put that in his farewell address, you tonight would be experiencing an amazing fulfillment of prophecy. But that's what happened with Isaiah. He prophesied about Cyrus and even named him before his parents were born, let alone named him. And he prophesied that before he entered into this city with two leaved gates, folks, there were no leaved gates when he prophesied that. And that before Cyrus showed up, the king poops his pants, and for some reason, the leaved gates are left open. That's not what they usually did at Babylon. They didn't leave the gates open. That's an amazing prophecy if you let that sink in. These were providentially left open when Cyrus's force entered the city in the night through the channel of the river in the general disorder occasioned by the great feast which was then celebrated. Remember that. We'll come back to that about the channel and the river and all that. But this is where we left off with entered Daniel. He is the Moses of his generation, respected by kings and queens. We haven't really had a man that lives up to Daniel's stature for a long time here in the United States of America. Some people would say Billy Graham. I would beg to differ because they didn't really respect him. If you read some of the things that the presidents who he hung around with said about him, starting with what's his name? Franklin Delano Roosevelt's successor, Harry Truman. I couldn't think of his name. I almost said Henry Thomas, but I know it's not even a president. Harry Truman said that Graham was a charlatan and all this stuff. And so whether or not he was, I don't see any evidence he was really a charlatan. I think he was. He had ecumenically, he had some problems with his ecumenical policies or whatever you want to say about that. I've got a one-hour documentary I did where people really got upset with me because I said Billy Graham was the forerunner to the Antichrist. And I explained on there, I didn't say he was the Antichrist, but I said that his ministry paved the way for the Antichrist. I stand by that. It did. He brought all the different denominations together and legitimized the Catholic Church. Today we have Franklin Graham that I respect more than his dad at this point. But he's not respected by the kings and queens of our day. He's respected by Donald Trump, but he's hated. So I think Franklin's a lot more Christ-like than his dad, because I think if you're Christ-like in this day and age, people are going to hate you. So anyway, we begin in verse 13 now, back in Daniel 5. Let me get there and join you if you're already there. Daniel 5, 13. All right, read that with me. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? So, art thou that Daniel? I had trouble saying. There were probably other Daniels, just like there are other Greg Miller's out there. How many of you are aware that Greg Miller is the number one Elvis impersonator in Las Vegas? Thank you very much. But it's not me. But there are a lot of Greg Millers out there, and there are probably other Daniels. So he says, art thou that Daniel? And you can almost hear the desperation in his voice. I can't remember the particulars of the story, but there was one naval officer in the British Navy, and he would, when they would get ready to, they'd say, there's a ship, and he would call everyone to their battle stations, and he would say, bring me my red sweater. And he put on the red sweater. And then the next time, there's two ships. And he says, calls everyone to battle and says, bring me my red sweater. And he puts on the red sweater. So the fellow asks him, he says, why every time we go to battle do you ask me to bring your red sweater? And he says, because I don't want, if I get shot, through or anything. I don't want the men to see the blood and to become concerned. So then one day the fellow comes in and says, Napoleon's Navy, numerous ships. So he says, call them into battle and bring my brown shorts. So Belshazzar has called for his brown shorts, and he's pretty desperate here. And verses 14, 15 says, I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. He's a pagan. That's why he says spirit of the gods, plural. Verse 15, he's a typical American. And now the wise men, that's what people think they got in their psychologists and their philosophers and their college professors and all that. And now the wise men and the astrologers, Americans turn on their Facebook and their social media and they look up their horoscopes and everything, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. He's saying, help! So now Belshazzar offers Daniel a reward for his services. But keep that in mind. That hasn't changed. Daniel called in these astrologers and wise men. They couldn't help him. And if you will seek the counsel of the ungodly, you will be empty. And Jenny and I have been watching a little bit on Scientology recently. And it's such a shame to see these people caught up in this scam where you have to pay thousands of dollars for every step you go up the bridge, as they call it. Try to get into the OTs, which is supposed to be advanced. You spend, the total is about 300 and some thousand dollars you'll spend to get all the way to the top. Then they get up there. And they're told that when they get to the OT stuff, because all this stuff on the way up, kind of, they look, they're like, this isn't really all that, why are we paying all this money for this? And they said, well, wait till you get to the OTs. And then they finally get up to the level of the OTs, and they find out that the secret is that on a distant planet, a leader named Xenu took the unwanted people from his planet and froze them and brought them to Earth and dropped them into volcanoes and then set off an H-bomb and destroyed them all, and their spirits went in the air. But now whenever you were born, they jump inside of you. And you've got to get the thetans out of you, so you have to pay all this money. And so sane people who have spent $300,000 to get to that level finally realize this is a load of brown shorts. And I have been totally ripped off. But sadly, they don't turn to God. All these people we're seeing in these, they turn to, well, then nothing's true. And you see that with Jehovah's Witnesses. You'll see it with Mormons. You'll see it with people in all kinds of different religions. Instead of turning to the Word of God and learning about the true God, they just decide there's nothing. And that's where Belshazzar is at the end of his rope right now. Nebuchadnezzar was there too. But thankfully, he was able to turn to a man of God. Not me. You're supposed to be the man or woman of God in the lives of people. You should be prepared. You should know the Word of God. You should be right with God. You should be close to God. You should be ready to give an answer to every man who asks for the hope that is in you. And then when they ask, you don't say, well, let me find my pastor's, I got his phone number here. And no, you should be able to give answers. We're all supposed to be Daniels. Amen? Verse 16 then says, and I have heard of thee. Would your loved ones and co-workers think of that of you? Now listen, a lot of them will hate you right now, but then when the bomb drops, who are they going to turn to? I've had people who mock and make fun of me and told me to my face they think I'm a fool, but then when their life falls apart or they get a cancer diagnosis or someone close to them dies or something like that happens, guess who they called? And I said, I told you so, you fool. No, I didn't. For some of you, you might have been worried I actually said that. I said, I'm glad you called. I'd be happy to come and have coffee. And let's sit down over a cup of coffee. And if you want tea, go ahead. Amen. And then we open the Bible. And that's all I'm saying is that's where you should be. And by the way, I'm glad I mentioned opening a Bible. It's not about your recall and your ability to be a walking encyclopedia. Be open and honest with them. Hey, I don't have all the answers in here, but I got them all right here. And if you'll sit down with me, we can look them up. I've gotten to know this book, pretty well, a little bit. I know my way around it. And I got a search on my phone. I've got a concordance. Hey, whatever help you got, man, use it. Amen? But all that doesn't impress Daniel. Read verse 17 with me. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. So he says, keep it. Keep it. I don't need your rewards. I don't need all that stuff. I will read the writing unto the king. See, that's what you do. Yeah, you think about it. On the wall, the handwriting on the wall, that's the word of God. Amen? And so all Daniel's going to do is read the word of God and then explain it to him. That's what you and I can do. We even have it in an app on our phone. You don't even have to have your Bible on you as long as you didn't forget your phone. Oh. I guess you don't lick your finger. That would be if you had your Bible, wouldn't it? But Daniel's all business. I love him. Some people don't like this about me, and I'm not comparing myself to Daniel, but I've been told this. But you've sitting here long enough to know I like a good joke. I called Charlie a liberal years ago. No flattery. I could have just looked at Charlie and said, Charlie, you're a special young man. And you need to understand all the gifts you have in you. And you can be somebody. Now look at me and say, I love Charlie. That never happened. No flattery. Sometimes you get to do a word search. Look up flattery and flattereth. God doesn't think highly of it, and he warns you, watch out for those people. Well, then why is that where everybody goes to church? I'm just here to tell you that there's empty pews here tonight because people wanted Greg to be a flatterer, and I won't do it. I will tell my wife once in a while that I think she's something. But I don't talk to the other ladies like that. Or the men. And I'm not bragging here, but I've refused some gifts because I knew it came with strings attached. I know a preacher had somebody walk in with $1 million check and lay it on his desk and say, there's just one thing. And he says, well, then I can't take it. Well, wait a minute, you didn't hear what the one thing was. I don't need to hear it. If you're giving money to the Lord, whether it's $1 or $1 million, it's going to the Lord and it's going to be used for the Lord's glory the way we use all the rest of the money. And the guy walked out with his check. And then the preacher went, why? No, actually he didn't. But he said he was a little upset.